this week's parsha, there's a Medrash Tanchuma, which at first glance seems to be very strange, doesn't seem to make too much sense. The pasuk says, "V'yetzi Yaakov mi'Be'er Sheva," that Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, "V'yelech Charan," and he went to Charan. Medrash Tanchuma says the following: Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu, Ahereg is a nefesh bishkoga, somebody who kills another person unintentionally, goyle l'orei miklot, has to go into Golas to one of the orei miklot. There's a halacha that Ahereg b'shegeg, somebody who kills b'shegeg unintentionally, there's a din that the Goel Hadam has a right to kill the murderer, and therefore what the murderer has to do is he has to run away to an Eir Miklot. Because money's in the Eir Miklot, then the Goel Hadam can't do anything to him. So on the pasuk of Yetzi Yaakov min Be'er Sheva v'yene Charon, that Yaakov leaves Be'er Sheva to go to Charon, the Medrash Tanchuma says that Ahereg es hanefesh b'shkoga, somebody who murders unintentionally, somebody who kills unintentionally, goyel arim miklot, he goes to one of the arim miklot, the shalosh arim shebeivar yadin, either to one of the three arim miklot that there were on the other side of the yadin, or alternatively, Shalosh Sheberetz Kanaan, or to one of the three Ari Miklot that they were in Eretz Yisrael. V'Yaakov Avinu Gola L'Charon. Yaakov Avinu, when he left Be'er Sheva and he went to Charon, was basically going to an Ir Miklot. V'Yireach B'Nafshei. He was running away from Be'er Sheva in order to save his life. V'nisiore, because he was scared, shalayarig Esav harasha Esav achiv, because he was scared that Esav is going to kill him. So what's the Medrash Tanchuma saying? That the pshat in the pasuk of Vayetze Yaakov mi'Be'er Sheva v'yelech Charon, the Yaakov left Be'er Sheva and he went to Charon, is the halacha of the Reitzeach b'shegeg that has to run away to an Eir Miklot. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu was running away from Be'er Sheva l'Charon because Yaakov Avinu was a Ahereg b'shegeg. And the Chura, we don't find anywhere, it's not recorded in the Torah anywhere, about Yaakov killing anybody. What do we find in the Torah that Yaakov killed somebody unintentionally, that the Medrash Tanchuma should say about Yaakov that the reason why he left Be'er Sheva to go to Charon was because he was a Ritzeach b'shegeg, and therefore he had to go away to an Eir Miklat. And the Medrash Tanchuma continues and says, who was Yaakov Avinu scared from? He was scared of Esav. He says, who is the Goel Adam here? Who's the guy who's chasing Yaakov, who has the right to kill Yaakov because Yaakov killed somebody b'shegeg? It's Esav. So whoever Yaakov Avinu killed b'shegeg, we don't know who he killed b'shegeg because we have no recording of him killing anybody b'shegeg, but whoever he killed b'shegeg was obviously somebody who Esav was the Goel Adam for. But where do we find such a situation? So this kasha on the Medrash Tanchuma, the Sfasemes asks. The Sfasemes asks the Medrash Tanchuma, where do we find a situation that Yaakov Avinu killed somebody b'shegeg that we should be able to say that the reason why he's leaving Be'er Sheva, he's going to Charon, is because he's running away to an Eir Miklot? Says the Sfasemes, ki breiches Yaakov, the fact that Yaakov ran away from Be'er Sheva and ran away to Charon, haya kamoi golas. It was a bechina of golas. Well, it was the Medrash Tanchuma. It was an act of going, running away to Golas, running away, in other words, to the Eir Miklot. L'misha hereges ha-nefesh b'shegeg. And Yaakov Avinu, by going from Be'er Sheva to Charon, was actually fulfilling that halacha that the Ritzeach b'shegeg has to go to an Eir Miklot. Who did he kill? Ki nechshav le'lechet. It was considered an act of killing on his part. Ma shenitcha Esav al yodai. the fact that he estranged himself from Esav. Ki hayole lekarev gam Esav. Because he should have been mekarev Esav. And seeing that he wasn't mekarev Esav, therefore that's considered to be an act of murder. It's considered to be that he murdered spiritually Esav because he wasn't mekarev him to Torah and mitzvahs. Why is it b'shoigeg? Because obviously he didn't feel that he wasn't a madrega to do it, therefore it wasn't intentional that he wasn't mekarev Esav, it was unintentional. He didn't think that he had the keach hashpah to be mashpi on him. Therefore, he's considered to be a tzar b'shoigeg. Therefore, he has to go to the Miklot. Therefore, he leaves Be'er Sheva and he goes to Charan. And Esav is acting as the Goel Adam, as it were, on his own behalf. That he's the Goel Adam. He's out to kill Yaakov, to take revenge for the fact that Yaakov killed him. And how did Yaakov kill him? By virtue of the fact that Yaakov wasn't makarav him. That's the way the Sfas Emes learns Pshat in the Medrash Tanchuma. So besides the fact that it's a little bit far-fetched, there's basically a problem here with this Pshat. How do I know b'chlal that I'm chiyav to be mekarev somebody else to do Torah mitzvahs? Well, where's the chiyav come from? The chiyav comes from the pasuk in the Torah. There's a pasuk in the Torah which says, "Echiyach techiyach es hamisecha." The pasuk in the Torah which says that you have a chiyav, every Jew has a chiyav, you have to admonish somebody else if he's doing an avera. On that pasuk, the Rambam learns pshat in the pasuk. The Rambam says, what's pshat in the pasuk? So the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvah, the mitzvah Asei Reisha, he says the following. Tzivonu, that every Jew is commanded, l'hechiyach hachayta, to admonish somebody who's doing a chet, or somebody who wants to do a chet, and every Jew has a chiyuv to stop another Jew doing a chet. And nobody has a right to say, seeing that I'm not doing any averis, what do I care if somebody else is doing an avera? Let him sort it out with God. What's it going to do with me? That's contradictory to what the Torah is telling us. The Torah in the pasuk of Echiyach Techiyach Samisecha is telling us Anachnu Mitzuvim, that first of all we have a tzivui Shalei Nechta, that we ourselves are not allowed to be chaitim. The Shalei Nazav Zulaseinu Meumaseinu Shiyamre. And we also have a chiyuv that we're not allowed to let somebody else do an avera. V'im hishtadel hamris, and if there's somebody else who's trying to do an avera, chayov imanu lohechichay, we have a chiyuv first of all to admonish him, and kolol included in that chiyuv that we have of hechiyach techiyach hamisecha is also lohashivay, to get him to do tshuva. The lomru, and that's what the pasuk says, hechiyach techiyach hamisecha. And the Rambam repeats this again, la'alocha l'maisa, in Hilchas Deis, in Perek Vav Alocha Zayin, the Rambam paskens this alocha l'maisa. Haroya chaveri shechata. Somebody sees that his friend is doing a chet, or shehalach b'derech le'teiva, or he's going on the wrong path, mitzvah l'hachziroi l'mutav. It's a mitzvah to influence him not to do averis and to do mitzvahs. Ulaidia, and he has to inform him, Shuchaitel Atzmi b'maisav Aroim, and he has to inform him that this is not the right way of behavior. Shenema, Echiach Techiach Esamisecho. So we have a chiv in the Torah, Echiach Techiach Esamisecho, and that's the makor that each Jew has an obligation to prevent another Jew from doing an Aveira, and each Jew has an obligation to influence another Jew to be Chayzeh B'tshuva. However, if that's the whole makor for the fact that one has a chiyuv to be machzir somebody b'tshuva, and the ad kadei kaf of the Medrash Tanchuma takes on that if you have the ability to be machzir somebody else b'tshuva and you don't do it, you're considered to be a ritzayach. That's what the Medrash Tanchuma is saying, according to the way the Sfas Emes learns pshat in the Medrash Tanchuma. Lichura, in the context of Yaakov and Esav, it's a non-starter. Why? Because the Talmud Be'er Eliyahu says a drosha that we learn out from the pasuk of Echiyach Techiyach Es HaMisecha. And the Talmud Be'elio says, the Pasuk says, who do you have a chiv to admonish? Who do you have a chiv to be marzil and mutov? It's amisecho. That's what the Pasuk says. So the definition of the person you have the chiv to be marzil and mutov is somebody who comes under the category of amisecho. What does amisecho mean? So then comes the Talmud Be'elio, and the Talmud Be'elio says, she'imcha b'mitzvahs ata mechiyach. You have a chiv to be mechiyach, somebody who basically is a Shema Teru mitzvahs. He's basically a Shema Teru mitzvahs, but he messes up on one occasion. If he messes up on one occasion, you have to be mechiyach him, and you have to be mechiyach him, and he shouldn't do that ever again. And he's makpid about everything, but he messes up once and says one krishma. So you have a chiv to be mechiyach him, you have to chiv to turn, you have to be makpid and says one krishma. But there is no chiyuv to be marzil and mutav somebody who is a rasha, right? Somebody who's an ayin, somebody who's a tishanish, but somebody who doesn't know, it's one thing. But somebody who is a rasha and he's seinecho, there's no chiyuv of mechiyach techiyach samisecho. And the Talmud Be'elio brings a pasuk in Mishlei to prove this. And the Mishnah Berurah brings this halacha lemaisa. The Mishnah Berurah in Arachayim Tofesh Ches brings down this Talmud Be'elio as halacha lemaisa. And the Arachah Shulchan also paskens this as halacha lemaisa. So if the whole chiyuv of being machzir lemutav is learnt out from the pasuk of Echiyach Techiyach as Amisecha, and Amisecha, according to Chazal, comes to exclude somebody who's a Rosh and who hates you, then who's the classic example of somebody who falls into the category of being a Rasha and who hates the person who theoretically could be Mazrim Lemutav and could theoretically admonish him? Esav. The Esav was a Rasha, Chazal tell us before that Esav was a Rasha who was Eivor Averis B'mezid. And Esav was certainly hated Yaakov. It's a pasuk. Esav Seine, it's Yaakov. So if Esav was an Eivor Avera B'mezid, and Esav is Seine as Yaakov, how can Chazal come with a taina to Yaakov? How come you weren't Machzir Esav B'tshuva? And because you weren't Machzir Esav B'tshuva, you basically spiritually murdered him. And seeing that you spiritually murdered him, okay, we'll give you a benefit of the doubt and we'll say it's B'shoigeg. But in Kozer, because you were a Teach B'shoigeg, you got to run away, wait to Yaakov Mibel Shava. Techorim. The whole thing doesn't shtim la'alocha l'maisa. Elamai, it's obvious that what we're talking about here is not stemming from the halacha of Eicheach Techeach Samisecha. So if it's not coming from the halacha of Eicheach Techeach Samisecha, where is it coming from? In Parshas B'chukosai, there's a list of curses which the Ribbono Shel'olam lists out the Techocha, and the curses are going to come upon Klal Yisrael if they're not Shema Teru Mitzvahs. Towards the end of the list of Klolas, there's one Klola which is different from all the others. And that Klola says the following: the Koshlu Ish Ba'achiv. And a man will stumble Be'achiv, with his brother. Say Chazal, what does that mean? What sort of curse is that? That a man will stumble with his brother. So Chazal types the pasuk, and Chazal say that the kashle ish be'achiv means ish be'avayin achiv. That one person, each person, will be punished for the avayin, for the avera that other people do. In other words, Chazal say that a person gets an einish for the averis that he does. And when the Ribbono Shel Olam starts making a cheshbon with a person of schar for mitzvahs and einish for averis, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes the cheshbon in the following way. What averis did you personally do? You did avera number one, you're going to get punished. You did avera number two, you're going to get punished, right? Whatever a person individually did, he will be punished. After he gets the einish on his own actions, he gets a further einish for any other Jew who did an avera. He gets punished not only for himself, but he gets punished for all the averas that are done by other people as well.
Lechura, why?
Where do we find a situation that I should be punished because some other guy did an Aveira? I'm sitting and learning 24 hours a day, so I'm going to be punished for the other guy's little day. What's going to do with me? And Chazal asked the Kasha. Chazal in Masechet Shavuos, and Daflam Tesla Omed Aleph, asked the Kasha. They said, how can the Pasuk say that the Kashlu Ish Be'echov means? Ish Be'ovein Achiv, why am I responsible for the Aveira that the other guy did? What's it going to do with me? I didn't do anything wrong. He's the guy who did something wrong. Says the Gemara, Mikan, that from here we see Malamed, this teaches us, Shekol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh, that every single Jew is a guarantor for the other Jew. What does that mean? So normally it's translated, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh, that each Jew is responsible for other Jews. But the language that the Gemara uses, the language that Chazal use, is Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelozeh, that each individual Jew is an Arev for another Jew, is a guarantor for another Jew. What is the definition in Torah of a guarantor? What is a guarantor? So the Pasha Pshat of the guarantor is, Reuven is lending money to Shimon. But Reuven doesn't want to lend money to Shimon, because Reuven is scared to lend money to Shimon. Because Reuven justifiably believes there's a strong possibility that Shimon's not going to pay him back. So along comes Levi, and Levi says to Reuven, lend the money to Shimon, and I will be the Orev. I will be the guarantor. What does that mean, lend the money to Shimon and I will be the guarantor? In halacha, that means the following. You lend the money to Shimon. You make a deal with Shimon. If Shimon doesn't keep the deal, I will be responsible to pay you back. That's the definition of an Orev. And in fact, the only reason why Reuven is lending the money to Shimon is not because he trusts Shimon. He doesn't trust Shimon. He trusts the Orev. He trusts Levi. Because he knows that if anything goes wrong, he's got where to pull back on, because Levi is guaranteed the loan. Does Levi get anything out of the whole business? Does Levi get anything out of the whole loan? No, Levi gets nothing at all out of it. And even though Levi gets nothing out of the whole deal, seeing that the whole loan was given only because Levi gave his guarantee, therefore if Shimon doesn't pay up, Levi is mechuyev to pay up in his stead. That, say Chazal, is the reason why every Jew will get punished for avarice that other Jews did. Because by Maimon HaSinai, the Ribbono Shel'olam gave a loan to Klal Yisrael. What was the loan that the Ribbono Shel'olam gave to Klal Yisrael? The loan was Torah. The Ribbono Shel'olam loaned, as it were, Torah to Klal Yisrael. And every single Jew stood at Mount Torah, every neshama that stood at Mount Torah, besides being a loaver, besides receiving the loan, also acted as a guarantor for every other Jew. Therefore, any Jew who doesn't keep his part of the deal, every other Jew in the world is a guarantor for him. In other words, every individual within Klal Yisrael is a guarantor for every other individual in Klal Yisrael. And therefore the din is that the only reason why the Malva gives the Leva the money is because he relies not on the recipient but on the guarantor. Who had in the Ribbono Shel'olam, the only reason why he gave Torah to Klal Yisrael was because he relied on the Alvus, he relied on the guarantee of every single individual Jew. Therefore every single individual Jew is responsible for every other Jew. Ella, there's a difference between Beis Din and Beis Din Shomayla. When it comes to Beis Din, when it comes to a monetary loan, the guarantor can come to Beis Din and say to Beis Din, I tried my best to get the borrower to pay up, but he doesn't want to pay up. So what did Beis Din say to him? You're tough luck. That's what a guarantor means. A guarantor means if he doesn't pay up, you're going to have to pay up. So, but I did a momentous, the fact that you attempted and weren't successful to get the guy to pay up doesn't help you in the slightest. However, when it comes to Dinei Shamayim, there's a klal of Einus Rachmanot Patre, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is takes into consideration where you had no choice in the matter. So here, lichura, the guarantor can come to the Ribbono Shel Olam and can say to the Ribbono Shel Olam, listen, I tried my best to get him to pay up, but he didn't pay up, so what do you want from me? That's not going to work. Because as we said, the guarantor is a guarantor whether he likes it or not. But if this is true, it comes out a tremendous chiddush. It comes out the following. I'm sitting at home and I'm keeping every single chumrah that there is in Hilchos Shabbos. I'm Shomer Shabbos, I'm doing everything that's possible in order to be Shomer Shabbos. There's another guy out there, somewhere in the world, when Shabbos gets into his car and drives to the beach. Boom, I get zapped out. I did everything I had to do, but because of some other guy, right, went and did an Avera, I get zapped out. How does that stim? Why on earth should that be? The answer is, it's a Mefurish Pasuk in the Torah, that's the case. There's a Mefurish Pasuk in the Torah which says that that's what happens. A person can be Shema Shabbos Adi Gdukta Shemitfe. If there's another guy out there who's being Mechala Shabbos, we're going to hit him for Chilul Shabbos. Where's the Pasuk? By the classic case of Chilul Shabbos that appears in the Torah. Where's the case of Chilul Shabbos that appears in the Torah? Dasan and Aviram. Dasan Aviram went out on Shabbos and were Mechal Shabbos. They went out and they gathered in the mon on Shabbos. So the Ribbono Shel Olam turns around to Moshe Rabbeinu, and what does the Ribbono Shel Olam turn around to Moshe Rabbeinu and say? Ad Ona, the whole of Chal Yisrael standing there, Moshe Rabbeinu standing there, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says to them, Ad Ona ma'antem lishma mitzvaysai v'sei reisai. Until when are you going to refrain from being shame in my mitzvahs? How long are you guys going to be Mechal Shabbos? Says the Chaskuni, what's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't Mechal Shabbos. Kol Yisrael weren't Mechal Shabbos. Pesach HaKol, there were two individuals, Dasan and Aviram, who were Mechal Shabbos. Nobody else is Mechal Shabbos. So why is the Rabbeinu turn around to Moshe Rabbeinu and to hold the Kol Yisrael and say, until when are you guys going to be Mechal Shabbos? When are you guys going to stop being Mechal Shabbos? So what do you see? That even though Moshe Rabbeinu and the entire Klal Yisrael were not being Mechal Shabbos, they are being Nitva on the Chilul Shabbos of Dasan and Aviram. What's the logic? Says the Cheskin, you know what the logic is? There must be something wrong with the Shmiras Shabbos of Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of Klal Yisrael if Dasan and Aviram can be Mechal Shabbos. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu and the rest of Klal Yisrael are really being Shema Shabbos the way it should be, then the environment that exists in society of the importance of Shmiras Shabbos will be such that nobody would dare to be Mechal Shabbos. The fact that there is a Jew who is doing an Aveira means that there's something wrong with the Kiyum Mitzvah of the Jews being Mekayim the Mitzvah. If Jews were Shema Shabbos in the way that it should be, then there wouldn't be a possibility of a Jew being Mechal Shabbos. Because the environment and the atmosphere that was created would be so powerful that no Jew would dare to be Mechal Shabbos. If the Jews were keeping Krishma Bismana, would be doing it in the way that they should be doing it, it would create an environment that nobody would dare to miss. Seisman Krishma. And if there are people who are missing Seisman Krishma, then there's something missing in the Shmirasman Krishma of the people who are keeping it. That's Pshat Arvus. That's what we mean when we say Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. The fact that there's a guy in your circle who's doing something which he shouldn't be doing means there's something wrong with what you're doing. Because if you're doing what you should be doing, b'mitzias, without you doing anything active, by osmosis it should be having an effect on the other guy. And if it's not having an effect on the other guy, then there's something wrong with what you're doing. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Rashi quotes a Chazal.
The Chazal is that he shouldn't have said Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er-Sheva Vayelech Harana, but the Pasuk should simply have said Vayelech Yaakov Harana, that Yaakov went to Haran. What does the Pasuk have to tell me that he left Be'er-Sheva? I know he's in Be'er-Sheva. We were told beforehand he's in Be'er-Sheva. So the Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er-Sheva is superfluous. Ask Chazal, so why does the Pasuk say Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er-Sheva? So Chazal give an answer. Rashi quotes the answer, the first Rashi in the Parsha. What does Chazal say? Ela magid sheyesiyah sadik min amokim oiser roishim. The pasuk is trying to tell me that when a tzaddik leaves the place, it makes an impact on the place. Shebizman she tzaddik beir, when a tzaddik is in a city, hu haida, hu ziva, hu hadora. Three expressions: ziva, haida, and hadora. If you look at the English translation, what they do is they simply translate it synonyms. Yeah? He's his glory, he's his this, he's his that, right? All English words which basically mean the same thing. But if Chazal used three expressions, then splendor, glory, then Chazal mean it's three different things. This Maamar Chazal presents a problem. First of all, the Torah added four words, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er-Sheva, in order to tell me what? In order to tell me that when a tzaddik leaves a city, it makes a roshim. That's what the Torah does, right? The Torah doesn't say anything about Yaakov Avinu, right? The fact that he was a masmid, that he spent years and years sitting and learning and never slept, that's in a remez somewhere. By the way, the Torah says a word and Chazal says the remez from it. There's a Chazal which learns out from a remez, from a word, that the darga of Yaakov Avinu was so great that the Malachim were fighting to have a look at him, just to see him. Even by the Malachim, Yaakov Avinu was considered to be so great that the Malachim were fighting to see him. All that isn't mentioned in the Furish and the Torah, it's just mentioned by the way. But the Yaakov Yaakov, the Torah is going to add on four words, right, to tell us this great halacha, that what? That when a tzaddik leaves a city, pana hada, pana zivo, right, which we don't even know what it means because it's three words which lechura mean the same thing. So the Mefarshim and the Medrash say that zivo means Torah and Chochmah. Chochmas Adam Toyer Panov. Ziv means shine. So Ziv means the shining face that the person has from learning Torah and from being involved in the Chochmah. Hodah is covered. It says, Vahodalta Bnei Zakim. What does that mean? You have to be Mechabed, an elderly person. And Haid means the fear that people have from an Adam Godless, from a great person, where the Pasuk says, V'nasata mehoidcha olav l'man yishmu. So it's three aspects of a great person: the Torah that a great person has, the covered the respect that a great person inspires, and the fear that one has from a great person. So Yaakov leaves the city, and it has a roshim on the people who are there, the fact that he left. So if they got the roshim, fine. If they didn't get the roshim, they're bad, they're tough luck. What does they have to tell us about it for? Right? It was a problem that the people of Be'er-Sheva had when Yaakov Avinu left. Whether they appreciated the fact that Yaakov Avinu had left them or not. But what's it going to do with me? Elamai, the Torah seems to be telling us the Hagdorah here. And the Hagdorah that the Torah is telling us is, what is the tafkid of a tzaddik? What's the ideal? What's the utopia? Say Chazal, how do you know if a person's a tzaddik or not? In other words, how do you know if the guy's doing the right thing or not? What effect is his presence having on the place where he is? If when he leaves, you see that the situation changes, then you know that when he was there, he was having an effect. If nothing changes when he leaves, then pshat is when he was there, he wasn't having any effect. Vaharaya, what's the difference if he's there or if he's not there? When Yaakov Avinu left the place, left Be'er-Sheva, there was a change in Be'er-Sheva. That means the presence of Yaakov Avinu was such that it was creating an environment, it was creating an atmosphere that people were behaving in a certain way. The Ziv, the Hodor of Yaakov Avinu was such that by osmosis it was having an effect on the place where he was. He picks himself up and goes away, that effect's missing, people go do what they want. That's the Yisod that the Torah is telling us in this parasha. The Yisod that the Torah is telling us in this parasha is that if one is doing what one should be doing, then it is by definition having an effect. And if it's not having an effect, then chat is there something wrong with what we're doing. I've got a gevist as a tiner on the guy who doesn't turn up to Seder. And I've got a gevist as a tiner on the guy who doesn't turn up to Davening. And I've got a gevist as a tiner on the guy, right, who instead of being in the Bissa Medrash, right, is doing Kol Dovar Asur in the valley. I've got a gevist as a tiner on that. Right? I've got a gevist. Nobody's saying there's no tiner on that. But mitzad sheni, there's a tiner on the guy who's in the Bissa Medrash. And there's a tiner on the guy who is turning up for Davening. Because if the guy was turning up for Davening and the guy who was in the Bessa Medrash was doing it with a Bren, if he was doing it with an inspiration, if he was doing it with a Chiyus, then it must, by definition, says the Torah, have an effect on the environment. And if it's not affecting the environment, then Pshat is there's something wrong in what you're doing. But it's a physical appearance in the Bessa Medrash, it's a physical appearance at Tfilah. But it's not tefillah and it's not limudat Torah, because if it's real limudat Torah and it's real tefillah, then it must by definition influence everybody around. And if it's not influencing everybody around, then you're in a matzav of a return of the shegeg. That's the limud the parsha is telling us.